You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
How are y'all doing this evening? You know, we are in last weekend, I think y'all remember, we had a Memorial Day, September 11th. And does everyone in here remember where you were on September 11th, 2001? Yes. Yes. It's kind of hard to forget, isn't it? We have a lot of what's called great days in Scripture. Great days in Scripture. Tonight, I was just going to talk about a little bit of a great day for God. You know, there's been several great days in Scripture, and I can't help but think of the day the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. Now, that had to be a great day, don't you think? I think it had to be a wonderful day. Awesome day to see Almighty God at work. What an awesome day. What an awesome day. And you know, another day that might have been an awesome day to see God at work was when Moses came down from the mount where he received the Ten Commandments. Now that had to be a great day. What do you think? Was that a great day?
Amen.
That had to be a great day when God gave his law to Moses. You know, and the other thing is there's so many great days in Scripture that I could literally go through this book and just pick out great days where God showed up. But one of the most familiar things in Scripture, one of the greatest days in Scripture, is here in 1 Samuel 17, which a lot of you are very familiar with, the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Yeah, you know, the thing is, when Leland called me this week, I was working on something else. But, you know, the most important thing is to be ready to go when the Lord is calling you. It's real important to be ready to go when God is calling you, okay?
Yeah.
Real important. God says, hey, look, we've got certain things that all of us are made to do. Everybody in this room tonight, guess what? Everybody in this room tonight has an eternal purpose. You have an eternal purpose. You know, God just didn't decide to make Harry over here and Joe over here and Leland over here and Alan over here and Johnny over here. He just didn't decide to make us and say, you know, I'm so happy I made those folks. I just wonder how they're going to turn out. You know, the problem is that God has actually created you from eternity past. The Bible actually says, it says in Ephesians that you were created to do these works from eternity past. Ephesians chapter 2. That's an amazing thing to think about. And there's only certain great days that God has designated for you to do your work. And guess what, folks? We don't have very many days to do it. We don't have that many. Because the Bible teaches very clearly that our life is like a breath, like a hand breath, if you will. It's here today, gone tomorrow. Here today, gone tomorrow. Now, 1 Samuel 17 talks about a great day. Now, if you back up a little bit in the 16th chapter, you'll see how David, after he was anointed to be king by Samuel, the prophet, when he was anointed to be king, God was just waiting for the day to bring him on board, to introduce him to the nation Israel. He was just waiting. And you got to remember, in chapter 16, there was a king already in place, and his name was Saul. And he was king of Israel. But he had a big problem. Saul didn't do what the Lord had asked him to do. He had a big problem. And then he had an evil spirit come on him. And he was literally just burdened to death by this evil spirit. Just a wicked spirit that came on him. And so he asked for somebody that could play some music, actually play the harp, to soothe him. And somebody in his court, and it says in the Bible that this person was unnamed. An unnamed person in the Bible, as in many parts of the Bible, you'll see unknown persons who are doing God's will, who are not named in the Bible, says, "I know this person. He's very good on the harp. He's a shepherd. He's the son of Jesse. He's an Ephraimite. Lives, you know, right outside of Bethlehem. But I think, King, that he can do the trick." So that's how David is introduced into the household of Saul. And then here in chapter 17, David is going back and forth from the palace, playing the music for Saul, soothing the evil spirit in him, and going back to his father's sheep on the weekend to tend the sheep. So he's going back and forth. And that's the setting here before we get to chapter 17. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines." The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other, with the valley between them. You see, folks, the Philistines were the perpetual enemy of God and Israel. The perpetual enemy. And they were always there. And they're always waiting. And they're always ready to plunder and pillage and kill and destroy. And we tonight, as you're sitting here tonight, we have the perpetual enemy that is always trying to plunder us, take us down, hit us at our most weak and vulnerable point. We have a perpetual enemy. And his name is Satan. And he's our enemy. And notice here, the Philistines is a total representation of the enemy and what his tactics are. And notice the camps. Israel's on one side of the hill, right? And the Philistines on the other. And we got the valley in between, the valley of Elah, where the battle's going to take place. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. As a matter of fact, he was about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Now, that's a pretty big old boy, okay? He could play for any NBA basketball team and become the starting center tomorrow if he wanted to. He could do anything he wanted because no one's going to get in his way. And everyone's going to do what he says. Because he's 9 feet, 9 inches tall and he was heavily armored, the Bible says. He says his spear was as a weaver's rod. It weighed several pounds, probably 75 pounds, his spear. His shield, he had a huge shield. He had so many things that he had to have an armor bearer to go before him to carry his armor. And he would stand and shout at the ranks of Israel. It says in the Bible. He says, "Why don't you come out? Why don't you come out for the battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Isn't that just like the enemy? He's always looking for a fight. And he's always trying to find the weakest link to take us down. And he's so intimidating. He's very big. He's very strong. And he's a lot smarter than we are. He's a lot smarter than we are. Don't ever think that you can take on Satan in your own strength. Don't ever think it. Because you can't do it. He's got too many things going for him in this worldly kingdom that he runs. It's all his. He's the prince of the air, and he runs a show down here. And he says here, why don't you send somebody out so I can fight them? And if I defeat you, you will serve me. You will serve me. But if you defeat me, then so be it, we'll serve you. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now, if there was anybody even close to being the size of Goliath, it would be old King Saul. But notice here in the Bible it says what? Old King Saul was terrified. He was afraid. He didn't want any part of Goliath. Any part of that. And all the Israelites were afraid, it says. They were all afraid. Now David was a son of an Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons. In Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest followed Saul to war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of grain and these loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some news of them, some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Now, this is what's going on. David receives his order from his father, Jesse. And he says, now go check on these boys. I want to know what's going on with my sons. I want to know how they're doing. Give them some food. As a matter of fact, give the commander some cheese. Give him some of this cheese. Just check on it. Now, if you're anything thinking like what David is thinking, he's thinking in the back of his head, you know what? I would love to get in on that battle. I would love it. I would love to get in on something. Now, David, as this story is going to illustrate, this guy was trained by Almighty God. He was trained from this high. He was trained. As a lot of you are out there, you have been trained. Now, you've been thinking, what are you talking about, Mr. Harris? I don't know. How have I been trained? Folks, you've been trained in the school of hard knocks, a lot of you. And you know how God operates and how God can bless your life. But you also know how the enemy can totally defeat you if you're not careful. But the problem is, the situation here is, David is trained. And he's just itching to get in on something that God's doing. And he's always looking for an opportunity to see what God is up to. And folks, God is up to something all the time. All the time. Especially in these days that we live today, in these last days. Now all you got to do is look around and see what's going on. It's utter chaos out there in the world. It's utter chaos. It's getting more so every day. But folks, God is up to something. He's up to something great. And David here realized, hey, there's something great going on in this war. What's going on? I'm so happy to get a chance to go to the front lines and talk to my brothers and see how they're doing. He says, now early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. Now, folks, here's a good lesson in Scripture. It says, early in the morning, David gets up and gets someone to take care of his business for him. And goes about to do what God tells him to do. Now, folks, the first thing that always comes up when someone says, when God has something for you to do is what? What's your first excuse you always have? I'm busy. I got things to do. Can't do it. I'm just too busy. Folks, the Bible clearly says If God's got something for you to do, He's going to take care of your business. It's a done deal. It's going to be taken care of. God's in control. It's going to be done. And David here says he gets a shepherd to take care of the sheep. Literally, in the Bible, the Hebrew word is keeper. A keeper to take care of his business. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up lines against each other. David left his things with a keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, greeted his brothers. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will have great wealth. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. Now that's a pretty nice prize, isn't it? That's a pretty nice offering here that the king is offering. For someone that will come up against this giant and defeat him, you get to marry my daughter. Okay? You get a lot of money, a lot of wealth, and not only that, you don't have to pay taxes for the rest of your life. Now, that's a pretty good deal if somebody will just step up to the plate. David asks the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who will kill this Philistine and removes this disgrace? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, notice here, David's heart is not with the money. It's not with the offering. It's not with the great reward that could be won if he defeats the giant. It's his heart is with the living God. He's on the side of the living God. Someone had come up against Israel and defied the living God of Israel, the Almighty God. And David's heart was with Almighty God. Now we see here in the scripture as we go on, I'm not going to have a lot of time here, but it says his oldest brother, he was asking some questions to the guys here. This is what will be done for the man. He asked him questions. And his oldest brother says this, heard him speaking. He said he's burned with anger and asking, why have you come down here and with whom did you leave, whom have you left those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now, the Hebrew here, it says how conceited. Really, it really means how insolent you are. How presumptuous you could be. Why do you presume, David, to come here and presume to know what's going on in this battle? You don't know what's happening. You don't know this guy. You don't know how scary this thing is. You don't know how big he is. This is a frightful thing, David. Now go on back home and take care of the sheep. You see, when you try to do anything for God, folks, the very first thing you're going to hear is this, is that you can't do it. That's the very first thing. You can't do it. You're not old enough. You're not smart enough. You're not able enough. You just can't do it. Now go on home and tend the sheep. Tend the sheep. Now, I noticed here, this is another great thing you see about David here in this Bible. It says, now, what have I done, said David. Can I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. He turned right, in other words, he literally turned to another soldier. Now, folks, when the enemy comes and talks to you like that, when he whispers in your ear and says, you can't do it, you can't live the Christian life, you can't do it, why don't you just give up and go back to your old lifestyle? Why don't you just give up and go back to drinking? Go back to pills. Go back to meth. Go back to whatever it is that's your drug of choice. Whenever something like that happens, when he's whispering in your ear, this is a great example in Scripture of what to do. Just turn around and go back to doing what God has asked you to do. Just turn around. You know what? You don't even have to say anything with your tongue. Notice here what David does here. He just basically says, excuse me. It just turns around and goes back to his business. What God has asked him to do. And that's all. That's what the Bible teaches, folks. We are to refuse to listen to Satan. Don't listen to him. Turn around and do what God has asked you to do. Go on about God's business. When David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Now, notice this. The king sends for him now because he overhears what's happening in the camp. He hears these words of David. He sends for him. Saul says this. He says, now look, David, he calls him into the court and he says, now look, David, you're just a youth. David says, now look, sir, king, I want to fight the Goliath. I'm tired of this enemy. I'm tired of him defying the ranks of Israel. I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear this anymore. My brothers have been out there 40 days and 40 nights. Now notice what David could have said to his brothers. Now, if you would have said it, I probably would have said it too. Now, Eliab, what have you done in the last 40 days and 40 nights? You haven't done jack. You haven't done nothing. You're just scared to death. And it's time to do something about this. Now, you talk about getting old King Saul's attention. That got his attention. You know, when this guy says, this 17-year-old comes up and says, I'm going to take on this giant. And I'm ready to do it, King. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Now, notice how David had been trained. He's been trained, folks, to do God's will. It says here in the Bible that he literally chased after the lambs in the mouths of the lions and the bears. He chased them. And then it says he removed the lambs from the mouth. And it says in the Bible that he took them by the beard and beat them to death. Now that's pretty manly. That's pretty manly. To take the lion and the bear and take the lamb out of the mouth and then beat them to death? Wow. He was trained. He was ready. Of course, Saul didn't, you know, I'm not sure Saul believed him, but I know I believe him. Then Saul dressed him in David in his own tunic and he says, he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around, but he was not used to them. Folks, here's a huge, huge lesson in Scripture. Huge. Don't go fight with something untested. Don't ever use anything that you haven't tested for God. It's not going to work out. Don't bring a gun to a knife fight. Okay? You don't need it. This guy Saul puts on gives him his armor, puts on the tunic, the armor, the full armor, gives him the sword, the heavy sword, puts on the helmet, and he says, and he tries to walk around. He can't even move in the stuff. He can't move. It's untested. Folks, don't ever think. Don't ever try to be somebody that you're not. Don't ever try to be somebody that you're not. Don't ever try to do something that God has never intended you to do. Don't ever try to do something. If, for the Lord's sake, if you can't sing, don't sing. Don't sing. If you can't sing, don't sing. Now, if you can sing, sing. If you can speak, speak. Do what the Lord tells you to do. And don't try to be somebody you're not. That's the greatest thing about being created by Almighty God. We're all created like that. So unique, so different, so special, so wonderful, as the psalm says, so wonderfully made. That we all have this ability to do what God wants us to do in His way, the way you're made. You know, the most humbling thing of all is to see the beast before the master. That's the perfect definition of humility. To be exactly who God has created you to be. There is no pride. There is no presumption. There is no arrogance. There's no haughtiness. There's just the relationship between the master and the servant, the creator and the created being and the creature. Humility. That's who we are. That's how God created us to be. That's how He created us to fight. And David said, I'll just use my sling. I've been trained with this thing, you know. I mean, that guy could put that rock, you know, but he could put it in a knot hole in an oak tree from 50 yards and kill a squirrel at the same time. I mean, the guy was accurate with that sling. He practiced all the time. He probably practiced 4 or 5 hours a day with that thing. It says in the Old Testament, in the that some of those left-handed soldiers, I'm left-handed, but I'm not a sling thrower, but those left-handed guys in Old Scripture, they could really whip that thing and really nail whatever they saw, you know, in the army, the Israelite. They're really good with that stuff. And then so he took his staff, and then he picked up 5 smooth stones. And then why did he pick up 5 stones? Well, the answer is in 2 Samuel. You'll read on 2 Samuel, chapter 21. And it talks about the giant having 4 sons. So David's thinking, hey, if I take out Goliath, he's going to have 4 sons come after me. So he gets 5 stones. No, he was not thinking, I'm going to miss. By the way, does God ever miss?
No.
Never misses. God doesn't miss. Especially when he's got his trained servants doing his business. They never miss. So he takes these stones and he says, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you would come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, I'll give him your flesh and the birds of the air to eat tonight. Now notice here, folks, David's trained. He was ready to go. God told him to do something. He had a job. He got after it. He got his keeper to take care of the business. He went to the battle lines. He put on his full armor that Saul had said, but it was not the armor that God wanted him to put on. God let him use his own armor the way he was trained to do his business. Daryl Royal said in the 1960s, Daryl Royal said this. He was playing Tennessee. Tennessee had some great running backs. And he was interviewed at the Cotton Bowl in 1969. And the question was, Mr. Royal, what are you going to do about these running backs? How are you going to stop this team? And Daryl Royal said this. He said, you know, I'm going to dance with the one that brung me. I'm going to dance with the one that brung me. Now, folks, that's what David did that day. He danced with the one that brought him to the dance. He danced with that one. He danced with Almighty God. You see, that's what we have to do in life, folks. We've got to dance with the one that brought you. You got to dance. You can't do it on your own. You can't make up stuff that's not true about yourself. You got to dance with the one that brought you. Okay? David did it, and we know the rest of the story. The Philistines were greatly defeated. They were routed, as a matter of fact. David had a tremendous victory. God had a tremendous victory, and David gave all the glory to Almighty God. And folks, that's what we've got to remember tonight. It says in 1 John 2:15, he says, now we have overcome the world. Don't be a part of the world. We've overcome the world. In 1 John 5:4, it says, as children of God, we have overcome the world, even our faith. So don't forget, that's the only way we can fight this world and Satan, is with our faith. God will do it. God will defeat the world. He'll do it because He's God. And He said He would. And that's good enough for me. All right. I think Leland's going to come and give an invitation. Anybody here tonight? Now, if anyone's here tonight and doesn't have this relationship with Almighty God, doesn't know His Son Jesus, His personal Lord and Savior, you can't fight a battle and win it. You'll never win if you're not on God's team. And Leland's going to give an invitation right now and ask you to be a part of this great army of God in the kingdom of God. Okay? All right. Thank you all.
Let's stand to our feet, if you will, with our heads bowed. Just time-wise, we're not going to be able to do that. But Alan will be here. We've got people. So I would be remiss if I didn't offer you an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ. Alan talked a lot about you being God's child, but if none of those things mean anything if you're not. So there'll be some people here at the front for a little bit. If you'd like to know how to be saved tonight, we want to do that. If you just, this altar's always open. If you just need to maybe put on your armor and quit trying to be somebody else's, maybe you need to come and pray about that. The refreshment bar is open. We will. I need to have a meeting of our finance committee, but we'll do that at the back. Thank you again for being here. Our Father, we pray for those that are here. Father, we know that Your Spirit has touched some hearts tonight, and so, Father, we just pray that You'll have Your own way in their lives. Father, for those that maybe need to be saved, that they would come, let us tell them how to do that. Father, for those that are saved, Father, help them to get on the right armor. Thank You for Alan. Thank You for his testimony. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
His name is wonderful.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.